does not. You want the median comparable to the high total energy. And I think by drawing arrows, I don't have to talk any more about that. Looking on page 27. Incidentally, the energy generator, you'll get these programs mixed up. We'll start with the first fraction. This one you see on page 27 starts with turn time. You will get a total energy figure. For every horse in that race, every winner of that day, I should say, at that distance, the high will, of course, be the highest class horse. If it's true, if Quirin and Brohammer and Quinn and everybody is right, the higher class horses run faster, don't they? So it's pretty easy to say that the high total energy horse is a high-class horse. He may not be the high-class horse by certain man-made standards. He may be a $15,000, $16,000 claimer who's running at allowance level times. Well, what does Brohammer call that? He calls that a horse to watch, a horse that is running faster than his class level. Quite simply, you'll be able to know that. You're not interested in class by... You could be. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it by individual class levels, but my experience has been you don't do it. And Tom, in his book, in showing people how to do this in a simple manner, suggests they take class by clusters. And what it comes boils down to is the high cluster, the average cluster, the median cluster, and the low cluster. So it's pretty much conforms to the best of our minds. It also takes into consideration mainstream thought. So you know what the horse's total energy is. Now you'll know the turn time, the second fraction that is winning by those three levels of class. And you'll know the third fraction. You'll know the median energy. You'll know the second call and the second call beaten lengths that the winners are coming from. Another contribution of Tom was eyeballing a race to determine the early presser, the sustained horse, and the sustained presser. Instead of you having to figure it out, this program will tell you. One fellow came to me and says, "Hey, you said this horse was a presser. Your program says presser, and there's got to be a bug in it somewhere, because that horse yesterday, I watched him go wire to wire." This man is living in the yesterday. A horse may go wire to wire, and it may be a sustained pace horse, or it may be a presser. It's how he exerts his energy that truly determines whether he's early, presser, or sustained, or derivations thereof. This program makes it for you. Jimmy Bradshaw studied thousands of races. And he determined the actual energy outlay of horses who were early sustained and pressers and derivations thereof. So this program conforms to the algorithms of the program you are using to pick your horses. And it tells you. For those who use this now, don't have to go through all that the steps of trying to determine who the ESP horses it tells you. Then it averages them. And then you transfer them onto your track profile sheet. High, low, and average. After a given week, you know what the high, low, and average was by distance and surface for that week. Now, if you're going to play Belmont Aqueduct, Monmouth, Meadowlands, Philadelphia Park, etc., you must do this, at least a reasonable sampling from all those tracks. Somebody said, how do you make a track-to-track adjustment? If high at the track you're playing is 56.72, And the track that it's coming from, the high is 55.82. The difference is 0.90. Therefore, your track-to-track adjustment becomes 0.90. Is there anything more simple than that? Some of you look confused, so please raise your hand. We'll go over it until everyone is unconfused. Yes, sir. Hey, you.
Did you say do that on the high, or would you do it on the average?
You do it on all. You do high, low, and average. If you want to do it just on the average, you'll still win a lot of races, but you're better off doing it by class level, as Tom Brohammer will tell you. Three-year-old fillies are going to have a higher median energy than highly contested allowance horses, so you don't want to be using an average there, unless you just want to win 60-65%. If you want to get up into the nether regions, you do it by the three class levels. Brohammer's variants are made by class level, and they're the best in the country. And he uses a formula almost exactly like this to determine them. It's very simple. How many of you play more than three tracks? How many of you play more than four tracks at a given time? I mean, simultaneously. Okay. It doesn't take... The track you're playing is the one that you should concentrate on doing it every day. It does not take too large a sampling to find out what the other track is. In fact, if you read the factor analysis manual, if you've only got one past performance line from the other tracks, you can do what you can with that. You'll be better off than doing nothing. Get as good a sampling as you can from all the tracks you play. The real thorough person like Tom would do it continuously on all the tracks at which he wagered. He's confined his wager to the two Northern California tracks and the three major Southern California tracks. But he can go to Las Vegas and do this just as fast, and with one day's results, one past performance line with, say, 9 or 10 races in it, he can also make a very, very accurate summary of what the difference in one track is in another in total energy. Any questions now? Now let's think about the concept of this. What does Andy Beyer and Steve Davidowitz and all the other persons do to make adjustments? Since they're using final time, they take the final time by class level at one track and the final time at the other. They subtract one from the other and add ticks. What this is doing is simply the same thing, except that it's doing it more precisely with feet per second numbers. Total energy is comparable then to us what final time is to a speed handicapper. If total energy at Monmouth is 55 and total energy at Aqueduct is 56, the adjustment is 1, right? Is there any question about that? There is a secondary adjustment, isn't there? And that's in your manuals. You have to reduce the adjustment by track class. Tom will go over that, but I think you've all read it. You know that if a horse deserves a 1, but he's coming from a minor track to a major track, that 1 must be tempered by a secondary adjustment which reduces that 1 by the level of the track. It's in your yellow manual. It's in virtually every manual. It's in the pink manual, even better. It tells you it's 4 levels down. If you're using synergism, we suggest you use 0.08 for track class level. If you're using phase 3, we suggest 0.15. But that'll be gone over. The point is, I'm trying to get you to understand the concept. The concept is you adjust by total energy. Should be as simple to you as it would be for a speed handicapper to adjust by final time. Does anybody have any questions on this? This is key to your future. Yes, sir.
On this line, in fact, are these all different races, like AAA, BBB?
Okay, it says, let's imagine that in your last 20-race cycle, there were only 7 6-furlong races. Let's also imagine that after you enter those 7 races into your NGEN, your readout looked like this. In other words, these represent all of the 6 furlong races run during that week. Then you determine the high, you get the low, and of course the program makes the average for you. The average is not the average of high and low, it's the average of all those races run at that distance. If you get real refined, as Tom Brohammer is, he will tell you how to maybe throw out a real deviant race, high or low. But this is the principle of it. This is, if you understand this, you'll never have to ask anybody, how the hell do you make a track-to-track or a daily variant again?
Howard?
Yes, sir. This is a more. This is, we have an engine in energy is what he's talking about, but this is even better because this is more detailed than that.
Only thing is that Gary, the energy generator is not a true engine. The engine that Howard is talking about is an energy generator based upon winners only, whereas the energy generator in the energy program is against horses that the horses are going to face today.
Except if you go into NGEN and save it as a 6-furlong race, then you've got your energy, and that gives you immediate. But now that you've got that, you go into energy, call up the 6-furlong, and it takes those 6 or 7 or 10 races and averages them for you.
Yep.
The bulk of the people in this room do not have energy or an internal engine, so this is for them, as well as for us using energy, because you have a profile of winners for a long period of time, and it helps you do that all-important thing to eliminate non-contenders. This eliminates them before the fact.
You want to be a little careful with doing what you just described, because the handicapping, you know, goes that program.
Go ahead, Dick, so I can rebut.
I've been
waiting for this.
I'll get the hell out of here.
I've been waiting for
this. I've
seen
this movie before. Energy is doing some things that you may not be aware of in there. And it is comparing some of these voices in ways that are kind of subtle. So don't necessarily think it's, I don't think it's a particularly great tool to keep your track profile running.
Gary, go ahead and do what you're doing.
If it works, do it.
But do this too.
When you sweep the park 3-4 days in a row, go ahead and do it.
Remember, our preface on this was, for those of you who asked those questions, this is how you do it. For those who are winning and don't have to ask questions, I wouldn't change a damn thing. See, winning is the excuse for using anything any way you want. But if you're not winning, or you're not winning consistently, you're not confident in your winning, then this is your answer. I keep it anyway. Because if I say, hey, I look at turn time. If I find that all 6-furlong winners, the lowest turn time I found at 6 furlongs was 56.90, and the average was 57.44, how many of you, knowing that, and I know that we should have more hands than we're going to get, how many of you is going to play a horse with a 56.20? Well, too many people, because they like the horse. This tells you the parameters, the highs, the lows, and what you can, what must accept as turn time, based on a given week, or even a given day. If you see a horse that's woefully inadequate at turn time, which Tom is going to take in much detail tomorrow, why are you going to put it in your computer? The horse is deficient in the area where you know what its turn time must be in order to win. You've got it in front of you. What we do have is some handicappers in our group who will look at the facts and ignore them and bet the horse anyway for some devious reason of their own. The horse cannot sustain that first fraction into the turn comparable to its class level's demands, the horse is not going to win. Now, he's going to win once in a while, but we're talking about playing percentage baseball or percentage horse racing. He's not going to win that much. And he's not going to come to life too much in a turn, because the turn time is pretty much reflects the horse's running style. So that's the first important thing to look at. See what the turn time minimum is that can win at your track, and insist that your horse be within 0.10 of the minimum. I'll go 0.10 for you, but no farther. The third fraction. Someone was asking, what's the third fraction in the relationship? Quite simply, with Tom Hamilton's regressing to phase one on the third fraction, it called our attention to it. It was always there. It's just that people weren't paying attention to it. Now, Tom can show you horses that take the lead and who don't have to have a very fast third fraction. If that's true, this program will be the first to unsurface it. If this program says you can get away with 49.90 feet per second third fraction and win, you will know it. In this particular example, the lowest was 49.25. And we also know that the 49.25 came from the lower class races, and those are the kind that can win with 49.25. Three-year-old fillies running, who run away with a race, maidens sometimes, and certain other classifications of speed races. But you know that at that level, you can get away with a 49.25. But you also know at the high level, it better be, in this particular example, 53-something. And the average should be 52.70. It tells you the median energy comparable to the high, low, and average. So if it's a high race, if you're looking at horses whose total energy matches the high, you're saying, hey, at this level, I need a median energy within 0.50. We have exhausted this statistically now, and Dick Schmidt put in a lot of work on this along with the rest of us, and he found that at 0.50 on either side of the total, either side of the median, pardon me, was about as far as you could go, one way or the other. So allow a deviation of 0.50, high or low, from the average, or the average at that class level. Okay, the matchup is built, in most people's minds, around the second call, although Jimmy can very easily tell you that the first fraction influences the second call a lot more than most people think. You want to discuss that, Jimmy?
Well, you know, this is not disagreeing with anything that Tom or anyone else said. You know, turn time is very, very important. Third fraction is very important. But very few times will either one of these factors stand alone. You'll see that when a good turn time is winning, but then Tom turned right around and said, if the context of today's race says that this turn time is going to win. Remember, this turn time is based upon the first fraction. Anytime that we're going to use a third fraction or a third fraction rating, you know, you'd be better off using antivirus speed times. For the very reason is that they don't start and run one fraction. When the gate pops open is when the race starts. They're not allowed to get behind the clubhouse turn and wait till all the horses have exerted their wind and energy and then jump out there and start running. So you've got to remember this when you're handicapping the race. What the engine does, first let me say this, the engine is designed to work with winners from the result charts or pace lines of horses separately. That's what an engine is. It is an energy generator because the energy that this horse exerted with these velocity numbers from the result charts or from these pace lines is what that horse did. It is not used for handicapping. The difference in the engine and the energy generator on the energy program is based upon what is this winner or this horse from this pace line going to do against all of the horses in the race. When you take a horse from the pace line, you want to know what he did in the first fraction. You want to know what he did in the second fraction. All of this is on the energy generator. Remember, this horse won based upon the energy he exerted throughout this race. When you find the parameter, I'll say 70-54 is the high percent median that is winning at your track. You can find that maybe a 70.60 may be too high. But always look at the other factors. Look at the first factor in today's race. Look at the second factor in today's race. What is this horse going to get away with today? Will he run a 70 as he did in the result chart that you took him from? Or will he be able to run at a slower pace? Now, this is what the energy generator as a part of the energy program tells you. It becomes a handicapping tool. It measures horses against horses of pace lines and contenders that you have selected. Whereas the energy generator is measuring winners from result charts or horses pace lines. Here is a horse that gets out in 21-1 and loses, runs a horrible second fraction, runs a horrible third fraction, is way over the parameter as percent median. Now what is he going to do today? Look at all the races. Look at two or three races. Does this horse normally do this? See what his average turn time is. See what he runs a third fraction in based upon the other horses in the race. But base it from the first call through the entirety of the race. This is a pace handicapping methodology. There are certain factors that are standout factors. You know, this gets back to the article concerning Howard being a, you know, this kind of ruffles my feathers when it isn't carried any further, when they say, well, a theorist, people look at theorists as people that just go piddling around. Howard is more than a theorist. But then let's think a minute. Einstein was a theorist. Newton was a theorist.
Take it, consider the class traffic, track class adjustment. Take that away from his adjustment.
North slow horses.